Welcome, fellow last placers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we just talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we will be talking about Rings of Power. I'm sorry. I keep getting all these names mixed up with like missing letters, but whatever. Rings of Power, episode 7. As you guys can see in the title, this one was titled Udon. I will get into what that meaning is later on. If you guys watch the episode, you guys know, but we'll talk about that stuff. As always, spoilers are ahead, so if you're not wanting to listen to any of those, please hit pause, go watch it, come on back, and then come hear what I have to say for the episode. And if you guys can, like, subscribe, review on the podcast networks and stuff like that. We do have a YouTube. You guys can subscribe on that also. It just helps with the visibility and all the things, like I say in every episode. But let's get right into it. Let's talk about episode 7 of Rings of Power. And right off the bat, if you guys have watched it, or if you're not, if you haven't and are just listening to this anyway, this was the best episode of the series. And that, I don't want that to sound like as if, you know, the other episodes are bad, because I've been thoroughly enjoying it. And because of the episode, because of the way that the episode, I said that was 7, but this was actually episode 6. I apologize. But so it's the best of the series, and that doesn't mean that the other episodes were bad, but this is very much Lord of the Rings like, right? This is when they give you that slow burn, and then they give you a big battle that pays off, and then you're just like, listen, this is why I love this series, right? So, but again, for me, those first 5 episodes were exactly what I thought they were going to be, and I appreciated them. But without those 5 episodes being the way that they were, you wouldn't have gotten the payoff you get for this episode here. It was so good, so good, so good. We start off, this episode pretty much takes place only in the Southlands. We do see a small scene with Numenor coming in, they're traveling to the Southland, but for the most part, this whole series is done, whole episode is done inside of the Southland. So I'm just calling this, the Battle of the Southlands, because that's what I think makes the most sense, and it just sounds good. So we always have to give something a battle of, so Battle of the Southlands is what I'm going with. Basically we leave those episodes knowing, we left the last episode knowing that the orcs were on the way to come fight. We see that the Southlanders all have a plan, coming in with Orendir, who has a plan to try to weaken up the orcs, because they know that they're at a disadvantage when it comes to the amount of people. They lock them all into the tower. They dropped the tower on them, which was kind of foreshadowed in the last episode when he was just like the tower, and they kind of looked at it and was like, oh, maybe we can use that. They shoot that tower down. It takes out some of the orcs, but we know how many of the orcs are, but we find out that that plan was actually for another one. And the other plan was basically taking back the village, because it was a more strategic, placing for that. So we see that whole tower scene, which was really good. Adar basically is like, you need to find everyone who, there's no way that they all just up and left. And he said that he could smell Orendir there. So that's what pretty much started that whole fight scene there in the tower, which was pretty cool. You know, anytime you see the elves fighting, it's always going to be cool, because that's just how they fight cool. Like the choreography is always on point. The choreography to Lord of the Rings period is always on point. That's just not something that they, shy away from. They accept the way that these battles are going to look, and they always look so good. We know that the elves fight differently, and we'll talk about one of the elves fighting later on, in the episode, but how different they fight from humans, but they're obviously more agile. They're more, they're stronger, things of that nature that you see, them doing. And I think it's just awesome that we can see such a difference in all of the fighting styles, right? Because we have humans, we have orcs, we have Numenoreans, which are basically humans, but you know what I mean? We have different fighting styles, and you can see it in their fighting styles. And that's one thing that I love that Lord of the Rings does, it varies all of their styles. So it's not like you're seeing the same people fighting the same way, even though they have like the same weapons and stuff like that. We know the elves are very much more like stylish in the way that they fight. The orcs are very much brute. They're coming in for strength. They're trying to overpower you most of the cases. And then the humans kind of have a balance of both, like depending on what the characters are. So I love that they've always kept that like as a tradition or like as a thing inside of the universe. And I think it pays off really well with just seeing that watchtower from the beginning on how that fight went out and everything like that. After that, we see that they all, the Southlanders, go to refuge back into the village where they have a plan. And then we see that Orendir is trying to destroy the hilt, right? So obviously we know he can't because it's going to take a special kind of thing to break that. So he's trying to break it. So he thinks about what he's going to do. He says he wants to hide it just so that no one can know where it is. And then we see Theo have a face basically saying like, you know, oh, I'm going to see where it goes just in case I need it, right? So that whole conversation happens. And then we see a very nice moment after all of that with Bronwyn and Orendir, just basically them like expressing their love for each other and the thing that we all knew and we all wanted to ship them anyway, right? Like we just wanted that to work for however it can. So seeing that was really nice and them having that moment with the seeds and things like that, which again, foreshadowing again, because, and I do appreciate that we saw the Alfrin seeds twice, like, well, three times in this episode, but you saw that even though, gosh, why am I forgetting his name? That, Adar is pretty much, you know, that he's like, you know, the leader of the orcs at the moment and stuff like that. He still keeps up with his, idea of what the elven tradition is. So doing that and then seeing it again with Orendir was pretty cool because it's something that Adar, you can see still in some way respects the way that the elves were. And even though he's kind of like this in between kind of character now, and we'll talk about that later on when we find out exactly what he was. But basically, I think that was cool to see both perspectives and both of them basically saying like, you know, this, what I'm doing is right. And Adar truly believes what he is doing is the right thing that he needs to be doing. So, both of them doing that, I thought was really cool. And then we see that march, is about to start. Before we see the march of them going into the town, we go to the ships where the Numenors are on the way to Southlands, which, pretty much, I mean, if all of us predicted, right, at that point, we knew that they were going to be on the way there. But we see a nice moment with Galadriel and the son, and not her son, but I forgot his name off the top of my head. I'll have it in a second. But basically him seeing about the whole elves having a little extra vision because of, you know, their elves and being able to see, he really wanted to see how Landfall was going to be and things like that. So we have a really nice moment there. We find out what happens to his mother. She's basically drowned, you know what I mean? And we just, a lot of things are moving in places and stuff like that. So we don't know if that's a full story. We don't even know how much of it is true, right? Like it could have been she drowned, but what led to her drowning? We still don't have that part of the story, which we'll probably get later on, maybe. So overall, we go back to the Southlands and everything, nightfall comes through. Adar comes with hit. He doesn't come this time, which should have been a red flag, right? At that point, once you didn't see him, I felt like they should have been like, okay, something's wrong. Something's not right here. But we see that they're trying to take care of the orcs. We have a battle of the Southlands commencing again. Basically, everyone's getting taken out. We see Theo, who is with in the tavern with the mother, the people who can't fight, and the women and children who can't fight, and the elderly. And it was really nice before we even get to that scene, but his mom just basically telling him like, I know that you can fight, and that's why I need you protecting I need you to protect the people who can't. And then because of that, Theo kind of takes responsibility and understands like, okay, she's not trying to ditch me, but I'm pretty much the last line of defense if they were to break through here. And then she gives him this quote that she used for him as a kid, which I thought was really sweet and got him very motivated, you know? So, yeah, overall, that was perfect before the orcs even get there. So we do see once the orcs do get there, that they have a whole plan that they're trying to handle. They try to lock them up into the same spot and then, you know, go to town by pretty much, you know, bottlenecking them. We see a good fight going on again, great choreography, a big battle between, Orendir and, this giant orc that, is really cool. And the whole fighting style, again, it's just so clean. Like the way that he fought, the way that he uses his arrows and the knives and everything. I can go on for days about how well that looked. And again, just like I talk about in every episode, how great the orcs look. We see a different version of the orcs. And I thought it was very beautiful. Like just the orcs, even though they're these hideous creatures, just their visuals themselves, since they look so good from what we are used to. And you can tell like just graphically and everything, how great they look. And seeing that fight scene basically just feels so seamless, right? Like it didn't feel like, you know, something was glitchy or anything like that. It was just like a pure choreography that was just perfect for the whole time. So seeing that whole fight play out, we see that. And then we just see, like I said, we see two different fighting styles, right? Very, very different, very calculated, kind of like exactly what Galandriel was saying anyway to the Numenors about how having to fight an orc. And we can see that Orendir is very proficient in fighting, and he knows how to do that. But at some point, those orcs, especially one of that size, is going to overpower you, which is what happens. And then he starts getting worked out. Basically, he takes out the eye. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but anything about eyes, I just like, I'm a huge horror fan. I love horror movies. I love, you know, the gore and all that stuff. Like, I love all that stuff. But there is one thing that I don't like, and that's eyes. And I have to kind of, like, do one of those, like, squints to where, like, I'm kind of looking away. But I still want to see it happen. But for me, I cannot stand when it is even played to, or, like, it looks like they're going to mess with someone's eye or something like that. So that whole scene where when Orendir actually pokes the orc in the eye, and then from that scene to where the orc almost takes his eye out, I was cringing the whole time because I was just like, no, I do not want to watch this happen. But overall, it doesn't happen because Bronwyn comes in and she saves him, which was great, heartfelt moment. And then we feel that a win has happened, right? A brief win. And that's the thing that this episode did really well. Like even those small battles that was happening within the episode, because pretty much you could say four battles or three battles happened throughout this episode. But this battle here, they kind of get hyped because they don't see anyone else and they don't know that something else is going to happen. And I love that they underestimated the orcs because they thought that they weren't going to be smart enough to now calculate a plan for themselves. Instead, like they did, like they're going to adapt because they have Adar and they have someone who is navigating them, who is also can be strategic. So the fact that they thought they won and then people start getting killed because there's a bunch of them in the bushes, I thought was a really dope scene. They retreat to the caverns, the Southlanders, they retreat there. And this is where a lot of this stuff is happening. But before they get there, we see Brawyn get shot, with an arrow, goes straight through her. And, you know, at this point we're pretty much fearful for her death. We don't know what's going to happen. And, kind of Adar just is making his way with some orcs, and basically the Southlanders close themselves in there, try to tend to wounds and stuff like that. We see that Broen is about to go or is losing blood at a fast rate. Orendir says, you know, we need to use the seeds. He kind of makes this like thing to like a bandage kind of, which is, was awesome. He makes like this bandaid out of the seeds and then basically like puts it on her and then burns this, the skin in there. Then we have a moment where we think it looks like she's dead, but only to come back alive and, you know, catch her breath. And thankfully she's not dead yet. And I say yet, not knowing if she's going to die, but I'm just saying. So yeah, so that happens, but the orcs are on their way. They burst through the door. And obviously this is, you're outnumbered, especially you're in the tavern where people are going to, who weren't the fighters anyway, you just lost a bunch of fighters. So they kind of surround Orendir and basically are like, stop, like you need to chill. We've got everyone here. And then they're ruthless. The orcs and Adar are ruthless. Basically Adar wants to know where the hilt is. They speak in Elven, basically where's the hilt? What's going on? Like, I want this hilt. And then Orendir obviously is like, look, I'm not going to tell you where it's at because I don't want you to have possession of it. So I'm not going to tell you where I hid it. But remember what we talked about earlier. Everyone starts getting killed by, you know, Adar's orders, and they're just like gutting people. And the thing is, I was surprised again, and I talked about this last episode. I was very surprised about how much blood they're showing, even like on the human side. Like, they obviously, the orcs are not a big deal, but they are showing a lot more blood than I thought they would, because Lord of the Rings hasn't, they've always been very much applied like violence, if that makes sense. So like, they'll show a scene where someone gets cut and then they kind of cut away from it so that it doesn't look like you're seeing a gory scene. Sorry. So that whole thing for me, I thought was interesting, how they showed like the bloods and thing like that. And, again, the whole fight for me was pretty epic. You know what I mean? So, that whole scene is happening in the tavern and Adar wants to know where the hilt is. They start killing everyone. And then Adar says, kill the woman next. Cause he knows that he can see. And it's not like Orendir hides it, pretty much what his love is for her. And then seeing that, you would think he was going to say something. But of course, Theo is, because that's his mother. He doesn't want to see his mother die. And it makes sense, right? Like, he doesn't want to see his mother die. So let me give her, like, you know where it is. I'm going to let you get it. And then he proceeds to do that. He gives it to Adar. Adar has it in hand. And just the moment where you thought people were going to start getting killed, the Numenor has arrived. Numenor has arrived. Galadriel has also arrived on her horse, and those horses were moving. And I want to talk about how Galadriel's horse was moving later on in the episode. Those things were fast. Like, her horse in particular felt like it had like rockets on its back. And I don't know where she got that horse, but I need one, because that horse was moving. And they got there, and something that the orcs and Adar weren't expecting, right? They weren't expecting to get help from somewhere else. And to see this army now show up and even up the numbers was a shock to them too. So, sorry. It was a shock to them also. So them seeing that whole situation happen, you see Adar try to come up with a quick plan. And this, for me, I feel like we should have hid this a little bit differently because of what happens later on in the episode. But basically we see him talk to, gosh, what's his name? The traitor, I'm going to forget his name right now, but was it? No, not Treadwell. Gosh, I forget his name, but, it's going to kill me. But you guys, Adar basically speaks to the guy who betrayed, and I'm usually a lot better with the names and stuff like that. Waldrig, there we go. Waldrig. And he gives it to Waldrig, and then he gives this, like, basically he has a conversation that says, I need you to do something for me. Now, clearly we know that he's given him the hilt. And I had an issue with this only because later on in the episode, when we find out what happens with the hilt, I don't understand why no one did the most obvious thing. But before we get there, he tells Waldrick, I have a mission for you. I need you to do this. So that cuts off. We see that the Numenors and Galandriel have made their way. Galandriel is coming in hot, epic, as always. She's doing like stuff on the horses and epic stuff like that. And, you know, Hallbrand is there. Everyone's there to help with this fight. They clear out the orcs pretty much. Everyone gets handled. And then they kind of tie them up. They do all this stuff. And then Orendir tells Galandriel, hey, look, the person, what we need, you need to, where's their commander? And he says, like, he's over there, and they have an item that they seek, whatever. And then they take off. And this is where I was talking about Galandriel's horse being an obscene faster than everyone else's. We see that Hallbrand also sees what the situation is and then follows her along. He goes another way. And this was cool that they did this, because clearly he knows the Southlands, because we know kind of the basics of his story. And he knows the Southlands. So he doesn't go the same way that Galandriel does, which I thought was perfect, because like, he would know where to cut him off or where he was headed. And I thought that little subtle thing, without actually showing him go somewhere else, for me, I thought that was really cool. So he ends up tripping the horse. I thought that was, he trips up the horse. We see that Adar hits the floor, and then Hallbrand's ready to kill him. And Galandriel basically says, look, you can't do that. Don't do that, because we need to talk to him. And she kind of wields him back, saying like, you know, relax, we got this, like everything's going to be okay, but we need him alive so we can seek information and things like that. And then they pick up the hilt, so they think. And then Galandriel, as they come back, gives her the hilt. And then we basically see that everyone is in the house. We see everything happening. They capture Adar. Not in the house, I'm sorry, in the tavern or around the tavern in the Southlands. And they're having a party because, you know, they just won this mini war, essentially. And this is where, like, we get some major story points too, right? So we get the conversation between Galandriel and Adar. Basically, now her just being upset, saying, look, this is, I need to know, like, what's going on. Where's Sauron? Like, why hasn't he shown up yet? Like, you work for him, whatever. And then she's the one who says basically their story of the, you know, of the orcs and the elves and how the first orcs were basically born. Right. And this is where, we see Adar actually say their names, which is Udon, which is the name of the episode. So that's basically what that meant. First orcs. And we know that Adar is a first orc, and basically saying that you'd think Sauron's plan was to like destroy everything, but he actually wants to heal Middle Earth. And obviously Galandriel's not playing with that. And then one that cuts really deep, and what gets her going, is that Adar then says, hey, listen, like it doesn't seem like I'm the only elf here with darkness in them. And that really triggered her, and she goes into, you know, basically going for a kill. So, and then she is stopped by Hallbrand, which it was cool because he stopped her, she stops him, that whole scene happens. But she does make sure she gives him a little cut on the neck, and that's when we see the black blood from Adar, knowing and confirming that he is pretty much an orc, right? Because that's what we know, the orcs have the black blood. So I thought that was a really cool scene. We see also, before she even went in there, she gave Arendir the hilt to basically, like, you know, what to do. And then Arendir sees Theo and basically has this conversation with him, saying, like, you know, you have to redeem yourself. And this is where I was saying my issue lies, right? That whole time, this thing has now been passed on by four hands at this point. Hallbrand, Galandriel, Theo, and Orendir have all now touched this hilt, right? And it's not like the hilt isn't a spiky hilt. This thing is a very noticeable, like shape and stuff like that. And especially these warriors who would know that, like, you know what I mean? Or feel like some kind of a difference. Couldn't they tell that was an axe? And I don't understand why no one checked. That was supposed to be the first thing you did once you recovered it, was to check it. They didn't check it. Clearly, we knew this, right? We knew this because we saw it. They didn't. And then during all of that, before we get to the scene where the tower starts again, we see that Theo has now seen what was in there. Also, the fact that Theo didn't say anything, even though that scene that happened where everything starts to, you know, blow up essentially and things like that, the fact that he didn't run and tell someone, I thought was weird, but I guess it makes sense because they were in a heightened, you know, danger zone, whatever. But I did think that was weird. Before all that happens, Waldrig is the one who's there. He's at the piece that they saw in the tower. He actually has the hilt open because, remember, we know that he has used it before. And then he actually opens everything up. And now before all that happens, we have a conversation between Hallbring and Galandriel, basically saying, you know, like they are felt the most alive and the best when they were with each other or fighting for each other. We also see that the queen actually tells the people of the Southlands that Hallbrand is their king that they've been waiting for and promised. And we see how Brawyn, she reacts to that, and everyone's really extremely happy. So after all, like basically that happened, we see again that we already had that conversation where they're basically saying, like, you know, us fighting together was the, like, something that I want, like, you know what I mean? So, and then we have them get stopped to announce that Hallbrand is the new king. So that all happens, but we cut back to Waldrig. We, like I said, he's opened everything up, and now the whole land is getting water, right? And it's feeding the drought that has been there, right? And now it's technically healing, right? But in a different, completely different way. The water leads to the lava. We see the lava go in. We see it rise up. We see Adar basically listening to the water just running through the thing. And then basically everything is blowing up, right? And we see these waterfalls and these like geysers are basically dropping people. And then we see the volcano erupt, people getting almost hit with it. And it's just mayhem at this point. Everyone's trying to get the queen inside. It was just a perfect little twist, right? Because again, even though we knew that it was going to happen, the scene that led up to after was so cool to just see them running away the way that it looked. I thought it was so cool. Basically just seeing how everything was basically breaking down, even though we're seeing this beautiful thing happen where the water is like filling up, and, you know, but we're also seeing, because of this natural thing, we also see the volcano like blowing up and stuff. So that whole scene for me was just like, oh snap, like that's crazy. Like all of this is happening all at the same time. We get there and we see that no one knows what to do at this point, because it feels like they felt like they won. They truly felt like they did everything they needed to do to handle that situation, only for it to then turn around and find out that the hilt wasn't what it was, even though none of them know that yet, but they can start assuming that they did not get the right hilt, right? So, or get a hilt at all, because it was an axe. But yeah, so all of that happens, and man, it, like I said, it just looks so cool. We see that once that happens, the volcano erupts, and then they're trying to bring people inside. They're trying to bring people into shelter, and everyone's kind of like looking around, like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Like, what do we do here? And before I even talk about like the ending itself, I forgot to mention the conversation with Isildur and Elendil, where he basically is saying, like, you know, you have to know how to, you know, treat your animals and they can feel what you, and he's basically talking to him like an elf, which kind of leads you to believe that his parents, his mother was probably an elf. But basically cause she has that whole connection about like, you know, with the horses and stuff like that. So, and then he asks, can you teach me, because he wants to know anything he can about his mother. And that's kind of the first time he's, his father has opened up about it. So I thought that was really cool to see, also just a cool moment before everything went to hell. Right. So the whole earthquake start to shake up the Southlands. And then we kind of see people trying to get Numenors, Numenorians, and the Southlanders are trying to get inside. The queen's trying to get inside. Everyone's trying to get inside except Galadriel, because she is completely in shock of what just happened. Like she can't believe, because she felt like she won. She thought that this was over. She thought that this was everything that she needed to do and happen. But because now she's seeing the rise, if you want to say, of Sauron, or, you know, the way everything that he's felt that he's had planned, she's like paralyzed almost, and she can't move as she's seeing this storm of fire and smoke head her way. And she just stands there because it's not only just defeat, but it's also just, she can't believe that even through all of this and getting the armies there and all that stuff, like it's something that she put this plan together to prevent what she's now looking at. And for her to pause and then be in that shock was really cool, right? Because it's just like, oh snap, like this is happening and she can't believe it's happened, right? So I thought them doing that was absolutely fantastic. And then we have the, you know, basically Mordor is here now, like, you know what I mean? So that I think was just the perfect way to end it, with her just standing there and then fading to black. Just a wonderful, like I said, episode. I think by far the best episode. I think everyone can agree on that. And again, it's not to say that the other episodes weren't great. It's just we know Lord of the Rings is always having epic battles and just epic results to these battles. And this didn't disappoint. This was very much what all the other ones, or not all the other ones, but you know what I mean. But pretty much same quality, same choreography. It was amazing. So definitely my favorite episode of the series so far. It's crazy to believe we only have two more episodes of the show. It's unfortunate, because there's like both of the shows, between this show and House of the Dragon, are all going to end at the same time. I mean, even She-Hulk only has what, like two episodes left. So even though this has been a lot of content dropping, guys, it's been so much fun for me to be able to drop, we're giving you guys like four episodes a week, but just to think that we're in a spot where we can be talking about all this nerd stuff within a week, it makes me happy. So, guys, let me know if you guys are enjoying the content. Please like, subscribe, comment, do all that good stuff. Like I said, it does help with the algorithm. And let me know what you guys thought of the episode, because I would love to hear what your opinions are on it. And, you know, I could put it towards the beginning and stuff, like what you guys say about some of the episodes. So let me know. You guys know how to reach me, if, you know, throughout all the social media, whoever. And if you don't, just follow the LPF page and you'll be able to. So thank you guys once again for listening to this episode about Rings of Power. So I do appreciate it, like I said, guys. And yeah, we'll be bringing you some more content next week. Just we'll, you know, start over with pretty much House of the Dragon coming out later on this week. So until next time, Fire Team